So allow me for a few minutes today. I've actually, Pastor Tim asked me to speak with you and be with you this Sunday and next Sunday. So please come back next Sunday. Oh, I can tell that's a good Sunday to be away. I hope not. if it's going to be that guy, I'm going to go elsewhere. Hope not. Anyways, many times when people think of subjects related to prayer in Scripture, we certainly can find these descriptors of how we are to pray, right? It's the New Testament, Old Testament, they're filled with those. Most recently, my scriptural study has led me to consider the prayers that are being offered for me. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, "And we have a high priest that continually intercedes for me." So that would be the same for you. The high priest praying for us this morning. Wow, interesting. I wonder what is on our Heavenly Father's mind for us today. So he would even be interested to be a part of creating that through intercession, right? The Gospels find many places where Jesus says, I pray for them. And the passage this morning that I would invite you to consider with me, Ephesians chapter 3, this as well is a prayer being offered for us. And I would invite you to consider, doesn't come directly maybe as prayers offered by Jesus through the Gospels, but yet they're prayers from the Apostle Paul. You study the New Testament, and we see Paul show up all over the place. The book of Acts, of course, creates a descriptor, a travel journey of where he led and served and moved around. Your Bible maybe has a picture of that at the back. We can study Romans and Corinthians, other passages, and we draw theology from those passages. We see in the pastoral epistles, the middle of the New Testament, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, we see those letters that were written to recently established churches, and we see from Paul that he had a real pastoral heart. He cared. Nice guy, right? Like, this is oozing out of him. It's just deep love for people and a care to see that what God started in their lives would continue. Right, we have that gifting in the church, and many of you have those giftings. Foundational to Paul, I think, was when you look in between his words, you see that Paul really prayed for people. He took it upon himself, maybe not just the discipline of prayer, but yet he was of a mind that praying for people was a good thing, and it was a beneficial thing. And it created change in people's lives. And so this prayer, this text in Ephesians, we have a slide for it. This passage is a pastoral prayer for us. So let's consider it that way this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19 says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name." And here's the prayers. "And I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." And here's the second prayer. "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." So let's consider these ideas and how it would possibly be a benefit to us today. So the next slide kind of just takes this first prayer here. So Paul here says, "For this reason," reminding us that Paul was interested that people, that his friends would give continued interest to consider the reason why they do what they do, for this reason. I don't know about you, but every night that I go to bed, I'm really tired. Are you? No, really. I'm tired. Any thought of watching TV past 9 o'clock doesn't happen. It's like... And I always get surprised to think that I get up alive and well, but through the course of the day, I've spent a lot of energy doing something. Paul here is kind of saying, hey, give attention to what you're giving your best energies to. Because you and I are giving our best energies to something. And I would imagine those are good things, I trust. But yet this continued alignment to say, hey, give attention to the reason you're doing what you do. Call for reflection and self-awareness, and maybe some alignment in terms of goals. So Paul says, hey, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. New Testament sheds light on so many metaphors for us or the family or the metaphor of the church, households of believers, the saints of God, the army of God, the people of God, the body of Christ. We all find different interests with different metaphors. The metaphor that I've allowed to find the greatest traction in my heart is this idea of family. And that word's been mentioned a few times today. The metaphor of the church being like family. And so Paul here begins to use language that highlights this metaphor that describes what the church is, or potentially casting a vision for what the church can be. He says, so for this reason, I kneel. The posture of kneeling is an interesting one. Kneeling in front of someone would maybe indicate that the one kneeling is able to do that with safety, doesn't want to fight, trusts the one above, and so would choose because of a respect and because of a trust and because of a desire to surrender, says, I kneel before this Father from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. So here we've got history being referenced to. Family members that have gone on before us, all saints possibly, and then we now as those who are alive unite together to form something. And it's not just simply the church in terms of an institution, but it's family referencing relationship, right? So Christianity, conversion, this thought of this adoption into a new family where we all have our first families, the Somes, which I admire and appreciate. But I'm adopted into something that's bigger than the Somes, and it's called the family of God. Wow. Affinity, right? Friendship. Kindred spirit, hopefully. Family. I have an older sister, and she references me, so there's two of us. She always referenced me as the favorite child. I love it. There's no basis for that whatsoever. But when she says it, I don't correct her. I smugly smile. In this family, there's no favorite kids. There's none. There's no favorite kids. We've all been, because of mercy and grace, elevated to adoption into this family. So there's no favorite kids in this room. It does a few things. It should elevate all of us, and it should just create this huge admiration for one another that we're family. Wow. So we're having a family reunion in some ways, right? I like that. So here Paul continues with these two kind of ideas on prayer. He says that I pray then that out of this, his glorious riches, he may strengthen you. So now we get into some things that are personal. These words of prayer and direction and calling forth greatness out of one another and the way that that greatness comes forward. So here this Father then in heaven has given this family and all members of the family, Paul's definitions here are glorious riches that would potentially strengthen us with power through his spirit in our being. The curiosity here of this family member having glorious riches. My father passed away 3 summers ago in his 93rd year. And about 2 months after the funeral, 4 grandkids, all the 4 grandkids received an envelope addressed to them, and it was for them. So all these 3 cards arrived in our mailbox, and we opened up these cards. And every child, Lucas, Lindsay, Lauren, had a card with their name and a note from Grandma Soames, surviving Grandma Soames. And in this card was a small check. It wasn't a large amount. I wanted to put zeros on it. I didn't. It's called fraud. I won't do that. So anyways, it's not about the amount at all. It's about the exchange. Because of the death of Grandpa, part of the inheritance came to the next generation. Riches because of death, right? Inheritance. And what Paul's getting to in terms of praying for people, he's saying, my prayer for you, and Jesus prayed these themes as well, my prayer for you as now part of the family is that you would discover the riches of this family called the family of God. What are these riches? These are riches related to the inner workings of the Spirit. There's a strength offered. There is a purpose provided. There are promises to discover. There's eternal life. And friends, you and I need to get our eyes a bit more up and embracing and considering the glorious riches because we're favored people. Because of the death of Christ and because of this resurrection, which unleashes an inheritance for people. We're not poor spirited people. We're alive in Christ. And that ebb and work within our lives, man, we're blessed. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This whole gift of faith that comes when we ask for it, Lord, help my faith to increase day by day and moment by moment. Some of you may be here and your faith is at an all-time low. Way to follow your heart here. Well done. But faith is not, you know, with authenticity, we journey together. But there is the gift of faith that comes because of an inheritance that our Heavenly Father wants you to have today. Crisis of faith can be a moment in time, but not something that reflects long-term journey. It doesn't have to be that way. The second prayer that we have here is in the next slide, and it unpacks a few more words. And I pray, here we go again, I pray that you... So now all of a sudden the room becomes kind of small because Paul is talking to you, right? So we got the us, but here we've got the you, okay? So now this is getting personal. So put your name in there. And I pray that Dave, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. This passage, this letter, was first written to the early church, descriptively, first century, and because of the persecution in the day, they were scattered. They had to leave their homes where their roots were, and they had to scatter for safety. And so they ran away from their roots. And so for Paul to be writing a letter about being rooted and established, it certainly would have captured their attention. So what is Paul referencing in terms of being rooted and established? Because it wasn't their physical address that was creating a level of security for them, because they're out. Some of you are away from home. So where's the root system here? Being rooted and established in, again, this glorious riches of being potentially established in love. So again, this is not our love, it's our Father's love. So the root system is, of course, if you're not a gardener, but know enough about a tree, is that it has roots. And the root system is not what you see with your eye. You would know the root system. It's what happens, you know, it's what's underneath the earth, underneath the ground. And the larger the tree, the greater the need for a root system, and certainly the greater the need that there is a root system. And it's a root system that goes down into that which provides life for that which grows up. So the home church where we attend is called Living Waters. Its lead pastor is named Doug Smith. And for the last 2.5 years, Doug has been on this journey battling cancer. And to his surprise, visiting the doctor, "Doug, you have cancer. This is a real serious condition." And then for the last 2.5 years, he's been on a journey. What I've noticed about his journey is, as I've observed, as I've talked, as I've listened, as I've heard him speak, as I've heard him pray and listen to him, read his blogs, I've realized that while his physical life went and is, in some ways, gone through a huge upheaval, what has been obvious to me is that his faith has not been taken out. Why? How is that possible to be facing such crisis but to be able to stand so tall? I mean, it hasn't been easy. I mean, you read his blogs and he talks explicitly about the dark nights of the soul, but yet his faith is not, I mean, he's going strong. He's still being built up. How? It's because of his root system. It's because within his life, not seen by the physical eye, but there's a root system that's plugged into something that allows him on the outward side to be tossed but not overtaken. Make sense? He's got a root system, and it goes deep into something that's beyond himself. And Paul's prayer is what I think has happened in Doug's life over the years, the last 31 years. It's a root system that's gone into something that provides a stability and a security. So regardless of what happens externally, he stands tall. So how is your root system doing? For real. Because you have one. And my interest, as would be echoed through this prayer, is that your root system would be established in this love of the Father for you. So while it becomes a gift to you and to me, we've got to handle this gift very, very well and wisely. We have to nurture that gift. We have to meditate upon it. We have to allow this love to center us so that you may have power for three things. They're in red here. That you, with all the saints, okay, past, present, and future, with all the saints, to grasp. So there's three words here. This word grasp is not what you may think of when you first read this. It's not me grasping and reaching. It's the other way around. This word grasp is that I would have a power because of a root system to stand tall and continually be grasped by the Father's love. It's not me reaching, it's being reached. Get the difference? Yeah? This word grasp means to be conquered by, it means to be captured, it means to be embraced. So Paul here is saying that you would have power to stand tall so that you could be grasped and gripped and conquered by the love of the Father. Beautiful image. That's again, back to this idea of this glorious inheritance. Being able to be grasped and gripped and conquered by this love that is long and high and deep and wide, is this love of Christ. So here, this is not, again, about reaching, it's about being reached. And the Father wants to reach you today. He really does. Because He cares about you. So let Him. Let Him. What's stopping you? Be reached by the Father's love today. So that your story is not an old story, it's a new story today. Like this day, I've been reached by the Father's love. I played that Father's love song, Good Father. I've played that already 3 or 4 times today before I even got here. For real. Because today, it's not about my past, it's about my day. I want to be reached by the Father today. Because He's interceding for me. He's got so much for me today. And you too, because there's no favorite kids. I love it. I get excited. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Interesting imagery again. This love shed abroad in my life. And it's a love that needs to pass knowledge. And the only way that I can come to terms with this is, again, the idea of passing the head to reach the heart. Right? It surpasses knowledge. Right? It's hollow. Right? Pass. Did I say that out loud? It passes knowledge. So if it passes knowledge, where's it going? It's going to transform the heart. Right? Follow me? To know this love. So again, for us to circulate, hey, tell me, hey, do you know God loves you? Sure, yeah, right on. I know that. Well, it's got to surpass that. And hey, if we went door to door, we won't, but if we were to, if we were to go door to door, let's go to UBC and walk around. Hey, have you ever heard of God's love? Sure. Well, it's not talking about that. This love, it starts there, starts here in the head, but it moves past the head to transform the heart. And that's what Paul's getting at here. It's a prayer. And in John, we see Jesus' prayer for His people carries these same things. To know this love, it surpasses knowledge, that you would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This word filled is, again, requires study, and it references sailing. Any sailors? Okay, I'll talk to you guys over here. This word filled refers to the idea of someone who was asleep in the bottom quarters of a ship and is awakened and makes their way up into the upper deck and moves along the deck to find the sails and hoists the sails so that the sails would catch the current of the wind, so that the sails would be filled, allowing the vessel to be moved. And what this word filled is likened to us allowing our lives to stand tall so that we would be moved and motivated by this power of the Father's love. Filled. So we're not, you know, so we see then the value of it moving past the head to transform the heart. Because head knowledge isn't going to get us too far. A heart transformed, now we got some traction. To the measure of all the fullness of God. This word measure now becomes interesting. We have a tendency, maybe because of the role that I serve in and traveling so much, there's something that I observe, and I would be critical of it, and I am. And it just simply because I see myself doing it constantly, and I'm trying to stop. But we measure ourselves against one another, right? To the measure. So maybe there's a tendency to compare ourselves one to another. And sometimes that makes us feel, you know, good. And other times maybe it makes us feel not so good. And we do it as churches. We measure ourselves against the church down the street. And when things are going good for that church down the street, we go, oh, we're not feeling good about ourselves. When things are going bad, we go, oh, we're feeling good. Maybe that's not here. Remember Jesus when the two disciples came and said, hey, Jesus, clarify for us. Who's your favorite? Who's most important? What did Jesus do? What were they doing? They were measuring themselves against all the other disciples, and they were having a good day. So they said, hey, today's your day, Jesus, to reaffirm us. And Jesus, what did he do? He criticized them. Said, you're evil. We are to measure ourselves against what? Against the fullness of God. So here we have the Father having a plan for your life, and it's not necessarily the same plan as the person beside you. It's a plan that he has for your life, and he's very interested to see that plan come to pass. The Father's love, the fullness of God. I'm going to invite the instrumentals to come, if you could, to this platform. Two slides over. Why is this important? Because when Jesus created a strategy for his family, there's few places where Jesus gave commands. And he said, I command you. My command. So in a world that was full of the commandments, Jesus decided to get into the midst of that conversation. And he said, hey, so this is my command. I'm just putting it out there for you. And he said, my command is this. I want you to love each other as I have loved you. So here Jesus, again, you can see it in John, the prayers. John referred to himself as the one that Jesus loved. Notice what his boast is. His boast wasn't in all the things. He wasn't boasting in John's love for Jesus. John was boasting about Jesus' love for him. There's a whole story there. But friends, our responsibility is to be absolutely caught up in the Father's interest to care and to nurture and to establish us for our benefit, but also for verse 12's benefit of us then being able to care for other people. And we have to get this right, because there are hosts of people that are needing to discover the Father and the Father's family called the church. For real. For by this all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So here Jesus has this one simple strategic plan. And that is that wherever his kids are, there would be an expression of the Father's love. We've got to get this right. He's got no other plan. Think about it. Of all the plans, Jesus gives us permission to, you think about the church on the face of the earth, the family of God, the extended family. Church in Africa looks really different than us. You go to South America, you go to India, you go to Uganda. The family of God is so diverse. They sing, they act, they dress, they look, their culture is so vastly different. I love it. But what unites us on the face of the earth? We look different in this room. We dress different. We eat different foods. We have a huge permission given to us because of the resurrection of Christ, the breaking of the curse of the law. But with that privilege comes huge responsibility. And that is that what will create a commonality amongst the family of God on the face of the earth is this thing called love. So whether you're at the university, downtown, whether you're in Africa, whether you're in South America, the enduring link and bond amongst us is this, the fact that hearts have been transformed by the Father's love, and so we will, with great generosity, love other people. Yeah? We can do this, right? As we conclude, maybe we'd sing, Good Father? Would you endure that? Because that's all for me. I asked for that selfishly. And they said yes. I think they did at least. And I invite you today for you to sing that to your Father. Wow. Wow. Sing it to your Father. He'll be blessed, and you'll be blessed. And then Steve will come to conclude the service. Thanks for leading us. Why don't we stand?